The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Sports Talk 1240 is brought to you by DraftPot.com. DraftPot is changing fantasy sports. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with promo code SportsTalk1240 and receive a 100% deposit bonus. And now, Sports Talk 1240.
All right, folks, we're back, and we want to thank Al Bernstein for sticking with us. Al, we want to hop right back on and finish up with Hagley here. I think what you say to me makes me feel a little better, because I always resented Leonard thinking that he just wouldn't give him the rematch, and I just saw no reason why Hagler wouldn't have wanted that, along the lines of what we talked about in him losing that fight. The other reason I didn't have a problem was Hagler missed a lot more punches in that fight than I was accustomed to seeing him do.
Right.
It was almost when I watched the Cotto-Alvarez fight, and I'm a big Cotto guy, respect his toughness in the ring. I wanted to see him beat Alvarez, but in the end, along with some other things, Cotto just missed way too many punches, something I really didn't see him do a lot in previous fights. So, you know, the thing with Sugar Ray, I guess, man, if you're telling me he was looking for that rematch, that's got to change my thinking, because I always looked at it like this, Al. Could you imagine, you know, Muhammad Ali was away from the ring for different reasons for 3 years, and then he came back. And, you know, before he fought Foreman, you know, he fought, you know, his two main combatants really were Joe Frazier and Ken Norton.
Kenny Norton, yeah.
All right, so could you imagine if – I looked at it like this. Could you imagine Joe Frazier saying no rematch after he beat him the first time? Or yeah. Even Ken Norton after breaking his jaw?
Yeah.
Could you imagine those guys not giving Ali – it would have just changed the whole complexion of boxing and heavyweight boxing in the 70s, which is arguably the best, right?
They were a lot earlier in their careers than Hagler and Leonard, so that's,
right.
That's part of the reason why it was more likely.
Right. No, I just looked at it like that. Like, what would you have remembered if there weren't rematches for those big fights? You know, and then he took out Joe. And I always gave Ali credit because he fought everybody. But he fought those guys three times apiece. And, you know, sometimes there was, like, questions about some of the decisions against Ken Norton. I guess Ken Norton was a clash of styles and all that. But the 70s with the heavyweight boxing, and then the 80s, that's why I like this book, Four Kings, with the middleweight fights and everybody moving up to Hagler's weight class. You having been around Hagler, and you told us how you had more of an intimate relationship, knew him a little better. Have you ever thought about writing a book about him, like a really in-depth bio on him?
Well, you know, part of my thing is that it's difficult. There have been a couple times where I've thought about things like that, but part of my problem is it's a time factor to do justice to it. You know, I'm a broadcaster, and I wrote my own book, of course, which was memoirs and talking about my experiences. Writing a book on someone, you have to be committed to doing the research and having the time to do the research and do everything to make that book appropriate. Now, my problem is it's hard for me to commit the time to doing something like that.
Mm. Well, if you ever do, I would love to do research on a book on Hagler. I love the guy. I got a
yeah.
Lot
no,
of
I think it's. I think it's probably. And I think you're right. There have been things written, but I don't know that anyone has told the Hagler story as appropriately as they should have.
No way. The one that when Kimball covered the four, you know, all the matchups between those four boxes. That was a great book. But it was about those four major fights and everything surrounding
right.
it. There was a couple of guys, I think, from, like, London that wrote a book about Hagler, and I only bought it because it was about Hagler, but it gave me nothing that my research didn't uncover. I mean, nothing. It wasn't that good of a book. It was called, like, The Marvelous One or The Marvin Hagler
right.
Story. But I would never suggest that somebody should read it. In terms of boxing, so now let's just go last 35 years since when you started at ESPN. Who are the best three or four, five boxes you've seen in the last 35 years?
Mm. Wow.
Like, would you put Hagler number one, or do you think there's somebody that was better than him?
Well, he and Leonard are right up there. They'd be very, you know, very high up there. And then, you know, there are so many others. Believe it or not, one of the people at his absolute—I actually think the most dominant fighter, an unbeatable fighter when he's at his best in the time I've been in boxing, and you may laugh, is Lennox Lewis. I think when Lennox Lewis is in shape, ready to go, and
right.
fighting at his best because of his size and his length and the way he fights and the way Emanuel Stewart had him fighting, he was almost unbeatable. He did lose two fights and didn't take those. Those were fights in which, to be honest, he wasn't prepared, wasn't ready, got hit with a punch. But then, of course, he won the rematch. So I would put him way up there. Obviously, Mayweather, because of his skill set,
right.
Though I don't put Mayweather in the top 10 of all time, maybe the top 20.
Right.
You know, probably if you're being gracious. But you know, Leonard and Hagler were way up there. Evander Holyfield, I think, was an underappreciated fighter because he was a great technician and was not only a cruiserweight champion but a heavyweight champion.
I loved him.
How about Tyson? I'm not talking about later with Tyson, but early days with Tyson. How about Tyson? He was a force to be reckoned with.
He was a terrific heavyweight. Yeah. You know, and when he was fighting at his best, would have been a force for anyone to deal with. But and for that era, certainly was one of the best fighters.
Right. I find him to be a bit overloved. I think he's the opposite end of the spectrum from Hagler in terms of love from fans. I got to be honest with you. He got knocked out by Buster Douglas, right?
But it wasn't.
Hold on. He lost to Holyfield twice. He never fought. He never fought. Even an overweight old George Foreman, no less. Michael Moore was a champ, never fought him. He never fought Riddick Bowe. And anybody who was good, Lennox Lewis included, you brought him up. He got pounded by him also. So I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, I don't rate Mike Tyson in the top five or six all-time heavyweight champions.
Right.
I don't, or even top seven or eight. I don't because of a lot of things. Now, you know, he was very good for a good period of time, and he fought good heavyweights,
right.
Not great heavyweights, and you're right. You know, even now, I always thought, and I wrote this in my book, that George Foreman at that point would have been very difficult. Even the older George Foreman would have been very difficult for Tyson because he had a great chin even then.
Right,
knew how to. He would have fought Tyson the same way he fought Joe Frazier.
Yep,
and would have been difficult for him, and might have landed something very powerful to. To make trouble for him. So, you know, I thought Foreman would have been difficult for him.
I resent Tyson because of part of it is because of me viewing him as getting too much love. But the other thing is, you know, with Cusumato and his whole training, you know, coming up as a heavyweight, he created a situation where he could have got himself out of his old lifestyle and created a great way of life for him and his family. Whoever he was undefeated. He was lightning in a bottle. He was knocking everybody out. And then this whole, you know, with the whole thing with Rooney and all that. And then, he threw away possibly being or having a shot at being the greatest heavyweight
ever. I agree
ever.
With that.
I got to be honest with you. Because I think that if Ali didn't miss those 3 years because of his stance against the Vietnam War and all that, he probably would have been the greatest of all time since everybody, even Hagler, says he's the greatest. But the guy who really blew it, was George Foreman. Because George Foreman was taking guys that Ali was having trouble with, mainly Joe Frazier. I mean, he knocked him. I have that I was too young at the time. He knocked him down five times in two rounds. He knocked out guys that Ali had trouble with. Ken Norton, he brutalized Ken Norton. I think that he, with that loss to Ali, he blew the chance after Ali, probably, of being the most dominant heavyweight because he was crushing everybody. Do you agree with that or do you think somebody else?
Yeah, I mean, there are myriad of issues with that fight with Ali, you know, and George Foreman just didn't handle it well, and didn't handle it well afterwards, but
right.
To his absolute credit, you know, was able to come back later in his life and be a force in the heavyweight division. So,
right.
You know, I mean, it's very hard because you look back at those moments in time where things happened and it's hard to revisit those. Sometimes there were a lot of mitigating circumstances.
Right. All right, Al, last question. Al, who was your favorite boxer of all time, and who do you think was the best of all time?
Well, it would be the same person, and it
okay.
would be Sugar Ray Robinson.
Okay.
You know, I mentioned I grew up watching Ernie Banks. I idolized Sugar Ray Robinson, and I wrote about this in my book as well, in 1959, when he fought Gene Fulmer, and it ended up with a draw against Fulmer, and he was already an older middleweight, and it was a disputed draw, and probably he won that fight. It was it was a seminal moment for me as a boxing fan. It was like it crystallized my love for the sport, but at the same time it was torturous because I love Ray Robinson, and he ended up not getting a decision I thought he deserved. But Ray Robinson was he was perfect. I mean, you know, he's the Michael Jordan of boxing. You know, he did everything so perfectly. And, you know, I mean, as a welterweight, he was 131-1, and there's no video or there's no film of him available as a welterweight because of the war and the limitations on materials and everything. So he was pretty extraordinary.
That's an incredible number.
Yeah, from research and history-wise, I would agree with only because I know Hagler has said that Robinson was probably the best middleweight.
Now, having said that, let me tell you something. I voted on... Tom Hauser did a thing where he puts together people and you vote on middleweights, and they put all the middleweights, and you had to vote on who was going to win fights, right? Okay. And at the end of the day, I had Marvin Hagler winning that tournament, even though, because I think Sugar Ray Robinson was a better welterweight than he was a middleweight. He was a great middleweight. But I am not sure Marvin Hagler couldn't have beat him.
Right.
Because of Hagler's chin and because of other things. But I don't know that he would have, but as a middleweight, certainly Ray Robinson wasn't quite as good as he was a welterweight. But as an overall fighter in terms of, you know, who he was, how he fought, the excitement he brought to the sport, and how technically proficient he was, it's just hard to argue with Sugar Ray Robinson.
You know, I actually agree with your original thought. I didn't want to be mean because you were talking about him being your favorite of all time. But when I did my research, I almost looked at Sugar Ray Robinson as more of a welterweight also. And I probably would argue with anybody that Hagler was the best middleweight of all time. And if he fought
that's what I'm saying. When I voted on all that, and I voted, you did it point you fight by fight where everybody fought each other.
Right.
At the end of the day, to me, Hagler was the winner. Your Monzon was in there, and Ray Robinson they had in there, and they had Griffith, and they had, I don't know, I can't remember all the middleweight champions that were in there. But when I was going, and Roy Jones and people like that, and as I kept putting Hagler against these people, you know, I think I had him with one draw or one loss. I don't remember, but it was, you know, so you can make the case for Marvin Hagler in that regard, and it still doesn't diminish Robinson. Although I think, had Ray Robinson, the 30-year-old Ray Robinson, who was already a middleweight, or 31-year-old, had that Ray Robinson fought Marvin Hagler in his prime, I'll tell you what, that would be one hell of a fight.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I haven't seen a guy as focused and ferocious as Hagler since I started watching boxing. I think he was the greatest I ever saw, because I think part of it as a fan is because I never had to worry. You know, when you watch your favorite sports team, same type of thing. With him individually, I never had to worry about this guy coming in and giving his best effort, about being prepared, you know. And it was just tremendous. And I just wonder sometimes why more people didn't love him in terms of fans and their affection for certain boxers. Just still mind-boggling to me. But I truly, listen, you didn't lose out here. Everybody who comes on our show, they always like, I'll give you 15 minutes. Nobody ever stays less than 30. I want to thank you personally for all the time you spent with us. It was great. Yeah. A wealth of knowledge. If we can get you back on in the future. I know boxing back in the 20s, you know, when it was all Lou Gehrig and Babe Ruth and baseball and Gene Tunney and Jack Dempsey, and boxing was the biggest sport back then. Not as big now, maybe. But like I said, I still love the fights, like the last one with Cotto and Alvarez. And actually, if you remember that Alvarez-Kirkland fight, did you see that fight?
I did, yeah.
That one was almost like a reincarnation of the Hagler-Hearns fight, just a little bit. That three rounds back and forth, and then he knocked him out. So maybe we can get you back on in the future sometime after the holidays or in the summertime, and we'll do more modern-day boxing and what's going on today.
Good to talk with you guys.
All right, Al, thank you very much.
I just want to tell you one more thing. I'm going for the Cubs. I've been to that stadium numerous times. It's fantastic. As long as the Mets... I want the Mets to win, obviously, but if not, let's go Cubs.
We hope they get you one.
Go. Break that curse.
All right, Merry Christmas, Al. Take care of yourself. Care. Happy holidays. Bye-bye.
Happy holidays to you.
All right, folks, there you go. Al Bernstein from Showtime.
It was fantastic.
Hall of Fame boxing commentator. And I was very interested in what he said about Sugar Ray Leonard.
Yeah.
I never thought of it that way.
32-1 or something?
No, that's Sugar Ray Robinson.
Robinson, that's what I meant.
Sugar Ray Leonard. I would have always thought that that he was the reason they didn't have a rematch. Because Hagler always avenged any type of loss or draw. Anything wrong in his career, he always. Yeah. So that's interesting information that Al gives. I guess I got to think a little differently of Sugar Ray now, right?
Yeah. He was one of the best, too.
Yeah, and in terms of him talking about the best boxers of all time, Sugar Ray Robinson, you hear that from a lot of guys.
When I was a kid, I was growing up on the heavyweight division. Right.
In the 70s, you got to see more of the heavyweights than I did. I saw the end.
Now, it's all middleweight with me. It's middleweight guys with me.
Right. I always liked the middleweights, but those welterweights, you know, the Mayweather's Cotto, all those guys,
those guys are fantastic.
I mean, Alvarez, he fights.
I couldn't even tell you who's in the middleweight right now. The heavyweights, excuse me. I couldn't even tell you a heavyweight champ right now.
You know what? Nowadays, we didn't get a chance. Al spent so much time with us, but we didn't get a chance to touch on it. Back then, you know, there weren't as many weight classes. You went welterweight, middleweight. Right. Now you got welterweight, super welterweight, then middleweight. Then you got junior, middleweight. So you got, instead of going from 147 to 160, it's 147 to 154, then to 160, then 160. Yeah. There's just so many weight classes, and there's so many governing bodies. There's too many belts out there, you know. The 70s, I'm a little jealous that you got to enjoy some of that fighting. When I started
Ken Norton was great. Frazier, Foreman, Ron Lyle.
When I started watching boxing,
Ali,
I saw his last four fights. That's all I saw of him. Live as a kid, and I thought he stunk. Why? Because he lost three of the four fights. I saw him lose to, you know, Leon Spinks.
Spinks beat him,
and I saw him beat him, and then I saw him lose to Holmes, and he lost to somebody else he fought after that. So my sister loved Muhammad Ali. Me, I could have cared less. I didn't think much of him, but I didn't get to see him when he was beating. You know, the trilogies with Ken Norton and with Joe Frazier, and then when he beat George Foreman in 74, I was too young.
I mean, it was all like it was kind of different too because they had the Olympic boxing guys, and they always watch that. It was on TV all the time. Now you got to pay big bucks to watch boxing now.
Right.
Occasionally they'll throw it on Showtime or something like that or HBO, but it's mostly pay.
You know, when I brought up Kenny Norton, you should have asked him since you're a big military guy with the Marines and everything.
I was gonna, but. He was only here for a certain. It's okay. Yeah. I was going to tell him about the Strahan thing with Strahan's father. Strahan's father was in the army, a boxer in the army, and he fought Kenny Norton in the Marines, and I think they split one apiece or something like that.
You know why I had to get him out? Because I talked to him during a break. He had like 10 minutes.
Yeah,
and he spent 20 extra minutes.
About the middleweight division.
You know, we'll get him on in the future.
Andy Lee.
You know, great guy.
Who do you like?
Well, wealth of knowledge. I'll send him a thank you. We'll get him on.
Yeah.
You know, down the line, and we'll talk more modern type boxing.
Alvarez is the champ right now. You think he's going to stay the champ?
I think Alvarez is going to go. He's going to move up. He'll move up because he has a tough time. He'll cut weight, and then overnight he'll just balloon up. Like when he fought Cotto, he got down and made weight, and then he put on like 15 pounds before the fight.
46-1.
He's going to move up to middleweight, and he'll fight Golovkin.
What about that?
And you call Triple G?
Triple G Gennady, guy, yeah. Golovkin.
He's a forceful middleweight. A lot of knockouts, probably 31, 32 knockouts. Alvarez, another guy, he's a knockout artist. Now, he lost to Mayweather by decision, but everyone lost to Mayweather.
Everybody.
But I like that Al said he wouldn't put Mayweather in his top 10. I wouldn't either. It's just a different era in boxing.
Yeah.
And Mayweather's style is so, like, unfriendly to a fan like me. I don't like. He's arguably the greatest defensive fighter I've ever seen. But I'm not a fan of that. I like guys who sew their boxing boots into the canvas and go at it. Because I'm like, Hagler was like that too. Hagler respected guys that stood in the middle of the ring and fought with them. You know, whether it was Duran or obviously with Hearns and Mugabe, he respected that. Guys that came after him. He wanted to fight you for the belt. He didn't want to dance around and stuff. And that's why he had no respect for Leonard in the end of that.
Well, that's
fight.
Why Leonard did. Hey, but you know what though? Leonard fought a smart fight in that. He ran from him. He stuck and moved. He stuck and moved, and he did what he did. He won. He hit him.
Yeah.
Took off. You're right. Leonard would have not won that fight standing toe to toe with Hagler. There's no way. There's no way.
Even wasting the first three or four rounds fighting orthodox, and going at it. And missing all those punches. If that fight went 15 rounds, Hagler was winning that fight.
Yeah.
In a different era in boxing where everything was 15 or fight till you knock him, he would have never lost. Never. You know, and I understand what Al was saying with that thing with Roldan, but that was no knockdown. Even Barry Tompkins and Sugar Ray Leonard was doing that fight, the broadcast of the fight.
Yeah.
And even he said that it was a slip. It wasn't. You know, I understand what Al was saying about the punch because the guy went to punch him. You know, he threw and they threw a punch, but he wound up hooking the back of his head, if you can picture that, and then pulling it this way. So when Hagler leaned in to punch him, he just slipped and went down. And even Barry Tompkins and Sugar Ray Leonard said, nah, he slipped. I'm telling you, he was never knocked down.
Never.
He was 10 seconds into the fight. He was a killer.
He was a killer.
And he fought like a real man. He fought. He got in there and he slugged it with everybody. You know, you want a low blow? Fine. He's going to give you the same thing back. He'll take two punches to deliver one big shot.
That's what I like.
Because he just swallowed up rights and lefts. You couldn't hurt him. We got a call on hold? All right, we got a call on. Let's get to the phone calls. Who's on with us right now? Welcome to Sports Matt. Talk. Who's there?
It's Matt.
Matt, what's going on?
What's going on, DJ?
This is Matty the Islander fan.
Matty the Islander fan. It's always a pleasure.
How are you doing?
I have an Islander fan nice calling this.
Up and win today.
Beautiful.
And he's a Jet brother also on top
I
of
that.
Absolutely. Nice Jet win today as well.
Are you as excited as we are right here? Yeah, we got second place in hockey right now, which I know it's still early, and we're going in the right direction. Right? The Islanders in 10 games. They've got a point in each game. You
They're
like that, right?
Great. They're doing great.
Absolutely.
And the Jets are looking in the right direction.
And wild we're card. Ryan Fitzpatrick would last this long into the season.
Yeah.
Fitzpatrick's playing great, isn't he?
Very well.
Todd Bowles said, I heard today that he wants to sign him for next year. Smart guy. You want it hard. He did say that.
Let's worry about the rest of this month.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying.
Anyway, Matt, what would you like to talk about tonight, buddy?
Well, back to your interview. I enjoyed the interview that you had there. It's a shame that the Sweet Science has been so tainted and muddled down with nonsense and the money aspect of it and the way the licensing bureaus are. And like you said, you summed it up great before, Derek, with how many governing bodies that there are.
Oh, it's too many.
And how many belts it's gotten so watered down and so nonsensical, nobody can keep track of it. I think that's part of the reason why MMA and the UFC has had such huge success over, because it's very clear cut what's what.
Right. You know,
you understand.
Yeah, in boxing, you kind of like, you got to search through and find the right matchups. And then the other thing you got to be leery of is the pay-per-views, you know, when they're charging $75, $80, $90.
Yeah,
I didn't get duped into buying the fight when, when Mayweather fought Pacquiao, because I knew, or at least I felt Mayweather was going to win, and if he's going to win, it's going to be a defensive fight, and it's going to be boring, and I'm like, I can wait a week.
The thing that the UFC has taken much better control of is they'll alternate and have great free cards up, or even with their pay-per-view events, they'll have 2 hours of the undercard posted for free somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, and it makes it tolerable, and maybe you'll sit and you'll get into the undercard fight and you'll sit and you'll buy the whole fight then.
Yeah, so the sad part sometimes is you're like, you know what, I'll just wait the week and watch the fight for free next week on HBO or Showtime.
Right.
But I did, when I was out in Arizona for Thanksgiving at the in-laws, I did get the pay-per-view because I knew Cotto and Alvarez had the capability of being that violent fight, because Cotto would always go at it, you're always a willing fighter. Get in there and mix it up and throw lefts and rights and swallow punches. And Alvarez the same way. He's a knockout artist. So that fight, it was a decent fight. It just didn't go the way I would have wanted it. I'm a big Cotto fan, but he just missed way too many punches. And Alvarez controlled, you know, the better part of the fight. In the end, like, Cotto would have needed to knock him out. So you got to pick your spots to do the pay-per-views. But at least, like you said, the UFCs, you know, they do them. And today's generation, I also find, Matt, a lot of military guys are into the UFC fighting.
Well, that's a lot of military training now is a lot of MMA or jiu-jitsu based training. A lot of hand-to-hand combat programs they combine the different aspects of martial arts that, you know, that are geared towards their combat roles.
Right.
So you get a lot of, the younger military guys are geared towards that. And now it can be a very exciting sport. You can see a guy that can punch and throw get manhandled by somebody who's got some ground skills or a wrestling background.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of the appeal of it, you know. But boxing still is great. I have great memories growing up. I remember when, like, Olympic boxing was king.
Yeah.
You really saw the guys that developed into big fighters start their careers.
Right.
Like you mentioned here, you saw maybe a little bit of golden gloves.
Yeah.
But then we used to watch the Olympics, the Summer Olympics. We look forward to seeing those boxing matches.
I remember the Golden Gloves used to be on, too, on cable. And we used to watch that all the time, too. But I did the same thing. We used to watch the Olympic boxing, and then you would see who the future guys that are coming out and this and that. It was great. Boxing is so much better.
Actually, there used to be boxing programs in high schools way back when.
Right. Yeah.
You know, long time coming. But that aside, definitely looking forward to continuation of our Islanders here.
So what do you? You want to talk?
You want to talk hockey? We can talk hockey. So
I just want to ask you.
What are you seeing? Now, listen, you guys watch all their games. The only thing I'm going to say, the one thing I am impressed with the team this year so far is the production goal-wise of Nielsen. What's he got, 12 goals now?
Yeah.
12 goals.
That's pretty impressive. But tell me what you like and tell me anything you're worried about. Go ahead.
I'm a little leery. Defensively, we've had some big letdowns in some games where we've let up a lot of soft goals, let up a lot of stuff late in periods and late in games, which concerns me. I don't know where we're standing at there. I'd like to see this Hamonic situation resolved as part of that as well. I wish he could figure out a way to stay here because he's a tremendous asset to this team.
I agree.
It's been great watching him develop as a younger player into the talent that he is today. He was severely missed last year in that Capitol series.
Top
players fits on him because he's fearless and he plays the game that way. I like to see. I'm very happy to see the play of Greif as a backup. He's much solid than we had in years past.
When
gives Halak a chance to rest here and there because Halak's been shaky so far.
I would be going 50-50 with these guys because when Greif has been in there, he's been fantastic. Yeah. He's got a lower goals against it. I mean, Halak.
Halak's pretty low too now. No?
Yeah, Halak's low. Yeah, too. Right.
He's
I mean,
low there too. You know?
But he's been going good. I would go 50-50 for now and just, you know, maybe and see what goes on. I mean, look, I agree with you, too. I mean, you hear all these trade rumors, Bufflin for Hamonic. But I don't want to do that right now.
Well, somebody just mentioned
Bufflin's unrestricted free agent. And,
right.
We have another situation like we had with the Matt Molson trade. The guys, part-time player like that. Let's get somebody, another young talent.
Well, you'd have to do a sign and trade.
Obviously, I want to keep Hamonic because I really do like him.
Yeah, first and foremost, I agree with that. I'd like to keep him there. As far as Nielsen goes, I'm glad to see the points are finally coming through. But that talent and skill and effort has been there every season I've ever watched him.
Right.
You know, he was a runner-up for the Selke Award a couple of years ago, and he should have won it. He led the league in shorthanded goals that year.
Yeah, he should.
You know, he's a tremendous talent. He's huge on face-off. I mean, and he's virtually unstoppable in this shootout, which, you know, that aside, I can't stand the shootout. But that talent and effort's always been there. So I'm very happy with this production.
You don't like the shootout. What do you want? You want it to go to a tie like it used to?
Let it go to a tie like it always. Games can end in ties. It's regular season.
Well, you got a tie. Once you get past regulation, you get the point anyway. So it doesn't really matter.
Or make a win worth more points.
Yeah. They could do that. They do that in certain leagues. They do that.
And go for
it. I actually am a fan of 3-on-3. I think it's opened up the ice tremendously. And rather than seeing it's forcing teams to play wide open with the 3-on-3. Where the 4-on-4, sometimes they would just coast through for the tie and see what happens in the shootout.
Now, as an Islander fan, would you rather see Gart Snow keep Hamonic and trade him in the offseason, or would you rather see him get something for a playoff run at the deadline?
You know what? If he's itching that badly to leave, then I'd like to see them maximize what their return on their investment and get something this year. Ideally, I just like John said before, and I agree, I'd like to keep him long term. Figure out whatever family issues got
to
work out.
Yeah, the question's only if they have to trade him.
Yeah.
I'm just asking, as a fan, what you'd rather
trade.
Do.
Now, I heard that he requested this trade before the season started.
Yeah, he's not forcing him to do it right away.
Maybe his family member or something sick or something. I
understand that's why they kept it quiet, because now you want to be in some negotiating position, not knowing that the guy wants to leave. You know, the team's going to make off you, not the deal that you want to get. So I'd keep him. If it's somebody that's going to help a playoff push down the road, then pull the plug and make the deal. You know, but like I said, I at the end of the day, I hate to see him go.
I'll tell you another thing I would do. I would lock up Oposo, too, if you can, because you don't want him leaving at the end of the year either. That was one of the prettiest
You're a big Islander coverage guy. What's the word on Oposo?
I haven't heard anything about Oposo.
No,
nothing at all.
I did hear something that maybe they were going to put Oposo, if they did trade Hamonic. It was just one of these rumor things that they were going to try to do Oposo and throw it in there and get a couple of guys back. But
a couple of players that are signed for a few years already? Or?
Yeah, because you have to do that. When Hamonic's good for 3 or 4 years now, right? You got Hamonic under the you're not going to get a Bufflin that's going to leave it. Like you said, that doesn't make no sense. You don't want to do that again. And I think Gart Snow learned his lesson with doing that last time.
Yeah, but you have
that whole
to.
Thing.
Have
so he's
to
not
going to
do that.
You
again.
Have to make a move for a force. Now I'm not saying he hasn't done this, but he has to have. He has to have at least put out the possibility of doing a sign and trade with Bufflin. He has to have. You got new owners. They got money. You have to at least ask about doing that, where you guarantee he signed, and then you make the trade. You guys don't.
Well,
you guys wouldn't want a guy like that.
Of course, I would want Bufflin.
Like that.
Well, then use your head, and
of
that's what
Bufflin.
I on the fan should be demanding, something like that. Because Tavares is not going to win by himself. Mario Lemieux didn't do it. Mario Lemieux was surrounded by a number of Hall of Famers that were brought in before he won a Stanley Cup.
One of those was Brian Trottier.
He was one of them.
That's right. Truck, yeah,
and
exactly.
They brought in Larry Murphy.
And Brian Trottier was
and Paul Coffey.
They had to bring develop.
They brought in Paul Coffey and all those guys, yeah. So, all right, we thank you for calling, and we got to go to a break, Matt, but we'll talk to you soon, all right?
Matt, thank you. Have a Merry Christmas, all right?
Merry Christmas, guys.
Thanks, guys.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. Be sure and visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Hey, fantasy sports fans. DraftPot has an exclusive offer for Sports Talk 1240 listeners. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with the promo code SportsTalk1240, and DraftPot will match 100% of your first deposit. That's right. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with the promo code SportsTalk1240, and DraftPot will match 100% of your first deposit. What are you waiting for? Do it now.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gust Buster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit GustBuster.com and get your GustBuster today.
Whether you're a couple enjoying a romantic meal for two, a family wanting to dine in a relaxed and friendly setting, or a larger party wanting to celebrate a special occasion, Miller Place Pastoria always combines a warm welcome with the finest contemporary Italian cuisine and wines. Also serving up Long Island's favorite pizza. We're located right on Route 25A in Miller Place. Come visit us today and check us out online at mppastoria.com.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
All right, folks, we're back on Sports Talk 1240. Big boxing night this wound up being. A happy night with the Jets winning.
Love it.
A double...
Great
interview. Pleasure night for my partner, John Sweeney, because his Islanders won and passed the Rangers in the standings.
41 points in the standings. Thank you very much. And moving in the good guys are moving in the right direction towards the top. The bad guys are going in the wrong direction. Thank you very much.
The bad
guys. And we know who they are.
Okay.
So that's what it are.
All right. We got another call with us. Rich from Manhattan's on the line. Rich, what's going on tonight, buddy?
A Mets World Series. The Jets have surpassed the 7 wins I thought they'd get, and the Islanders are headed for 102 points in the final four. What a year.
Rich, how are you doing? I missed you.
I missed you guys, too.
Yeah.
And we have a lot to talk about.
We do have a lot to talk about.
But we're going to start with the Islanders.
Go right ahead.
Let's go. Bring it
on. Kamernick. Okay. I got to give him credit. The guy asked to be traded for whatever personal reason he is, but he brings it every night.
He does.
He's not playing like a lame duck, like he's looking to get out.
Right.
He is tremendous. I hope they keep him.
So do I.
They hold out for the best trade possible. If that happens at the trade deadline, you want to accommodate him. He's been a good guy. You do it. But I prefer, as long as the team is playing well, you keep it. You don't break up the lineup.
I agree with you 100%.
You just don't. But he's been great about the whole thing.
Well, the only rumor that's been out there is that Bufflin deal. I haven't heard
that's
anything
That's not
going
to happen because Bufflin's contract's up at the end of the year.
I think Gart Snow learned his lesson last time
he's
not going to do that.
If he wants to be traded to Western Canada, and you got to get equal value, if it's Edmonton, it's got to be Justin Schultz. If it's Winnipeg, it's got to be Jacob Trouba. And if it's Calgary, it's got to be Dougie Hamilton. But if they get Hamilton or Trouba, the new owner's got to open the pocketbook.
Yes.
Because Hamilton, you know, Calgary signed him for a lot of money to get him out of Boston. Because Boston didn't want to match.
Right.
And he's really good. He hasn't been good this year. He's still adjusting, but I think he's a great defenseman. And he's only, what, 20?
Yeah, he's a young
21?
Kid. What do you think
of that? So, you know, I'm happy about that. The car in the corner of our rink.
Isn't it? It's a nice car.
What kind
of car is it, Rich?
I've nicknamed it Honky.
All right, Rich, let me ask you a question.
Because it's a white car.
I have not been to a game this year, I just refuse to go right now. I will go, but I refuse to go right now because I'm still upset that them leaving. There's nothing I can do about it. It's gone. I've seen posts of you, and I'm assuming you've been to numerous games.
Yes.
Now, what is the deal with that car? Because when I see that thing on TV,
it drives
me nuts.
For the building.
So it
says Barclays Center with the Barclays logo on the door.
What do they drive that thing around there or something? I don't understand. But you're taking out seats for fans to sit there.
You know what? It could be an obstructed view. It could be a blind spot. Because I also thought, why don't they just put seats there since it's right there by the glass?
That's what I'm saying. When I'm watching it on TV, I see
now,
it.
I haven't been to a Nets game, so I have no idea if the car is there for Net games or concerts or what.
Okay, answer this question. Because
I've never seen a car there during a basketball game, but then again, I don't watch a lot. So.
But the car has become a mascot. It's become a talking point.
Yeah. Well, paint the picture of Mr. Med on the hood.
I've read that the seating is too steep, and there are obstructed views with the scoreboard goes down lower. Is there any truth to that, what I've read?
Yeah, and it's also a little weird how the scoreboard isn't at center ice because it's really at center court for basketball.
Oh, I see.
You can't move the big thing.
It's not built for hockey.
Oh, so it's off center.
Now,
Rich, let me ask you this question. You've been to the old barn.
They didn't plan on putting a hockey team there.
Hold on. I have to ask him this question.
They can move the AHL team from Bridgeport.
What are you going
to
ask
about? You've been to the
old barn.
You've been to the Barclay.
Yeah.
Is it as loud?
There's no fans
Barclays.
There. How can it be as
for the
loud?
Ranger, listen, for I'm the not Ranger asking, Islander game.
I'm not asking
you. No, because
I'm
you know the answer.
Rich.
Yeah, well, the Rangers were there. It was sold out. What are you talking about?
For the Ranger Islander game, it was no different than the Coliseum.
That's
it was
right.
50-50.
Because we own half
the Islander arena. Fans were loud. The Ranger fans were loud. It was, you know, but
your bottom
they're,
five
they're doing
in
a
attendance.
Lot of public service things in Brooklyn, like going to schools and doing clinics. Basically, I'm treating this year and next year as if they're an expansion team in a new city.
Oh, so it's the early 70s. It's good.
Yeah, because I heard something that it's basically they're going to play. They're playing all the 82 games away. You know, like they
well,
have to
yeah,
to,
I was going to get.
Well, they
to
don't the, like because their practice rinks are longer. But why are you asking about the sound of the rings?
He's been there. He's been there. You haven't,
know,
and I haven't.
You know that the Islanders.
I have not been there.
Hold
either.
On. Hold on. That's not the point. You know that your team is bottom five in attendance. So why would you ask about the noise level when it's empty anyway? It doesn't
I
make
have
sense.
A problem with the practices continuing in Long Island. I think they have to go all Brooklyn because this whole thing.
Go to the Aviator Center.
This whole thing of taking the railroad like a regular commuter.
It's no good.
At 9 in the morning. That makes for an awfully long day. And when you know, I know they have the morning practice. Then they go across the street. They already got places where they like to get a bite to lunch, for lunch. And then, you know, they rent out a hotel near the arena.
Yeah, all right. Well,
it's like a road game.
Ranger players do that too, though.
And then at the end of the day, they have a car service to drive them back because they're not going to be waiting if they miss an LIR to whatever town they live in. But that's a long day. It really is like 80 road games.
Ranger players do a lot of that stuff too, though. So
what was that?
Ranger players used to do a lot of that stuff too. So you got to deal with it. That's it, man.
But we're not used to doing that, though.
But the Rangers.
Oh, you're not used to doing it.
The Islanders aren't used to doing it.
Really? Well, guess what? You're going to have to get used to it.
Okay,
but
I think it's going to bite them.
Oh come on! They got a good record. What are you talking? And they have a good home record. So it can't be affecting them too badly.
But they get off to these slow starts. I think a lot of that has to do with the
sluggishness
of the long day.
I just wanted to get the perspective of somebody that's been to the game.
They didn't get off to a slow start last year. And this year, their start's just fine through 30-something games.
No, but as far as the actual game, their first periods are god-awful.
So what?
Today, they got off to a good start.
They're 11-4-2.
I don't know if they. I don't think they had a morning practice today because they played on the road yesterday.
Morning skate? No, not with a 5 o'clock.
Plus, it was a 5 o'clock game.
Bother.
And now coming off a road game, a big road win that could have been a loss.
Yeah, well.
But nevertheless, the fans got to get over it. You know, the railroad goes right there.
The fans stink. They don't even go to games. Sweeney, you haven't been to a game yet.
They're going
to
stink eventually.
Well, there you go. Well, you got a good reason,
probably. They're going to get new fans in the Brooklyn and lower Manhattan area.
Richard,
and it'll work out over time.
Yeah, Rich, it's called like 95% of Brooklyn and Ranger fans, so don't worry about it. Enjoy
it. You know what?
I'll be right.
I never thought the Nets would take away Knicks fans. But
Did they? But they have. Have they?
Yeah, in Brooklyn.
Yeah, well, they're not taking away Ranger fans.
They got
different
the short
sport.
Al contingent.
Sorry.
If they wear Brooklyn, they do it. But anyway, I'm very happy with how they're doing so far.
Let's touch on the Jets right now, Rich.
Okay.
Because you saw the game today, right?
Yes, they did.
Defense played fantastic.
Yes.
Fitzpatrick played good.
I thought it would be a closer game.
So I thought
the Titans would give them a better game coming off their last
game.
They were
no show, man.
Thank you. After last week with Jacksonville.
After last week with Mariota, I thought the Jets would win, but I thought it would be a closer game.
That's why I thought the start to the game was great. The Jets defense put them right in their place. They forced three and out, one after the other. They excellent job defensively. Because the offense, to be honest with you, they didn't put up points the way they should have early on. They let them hang around that first quarter, and then they scored a few touchdowns in the second quarter. They squandered some opportunities, but the defense just kept forcing three and out.
Yeah, I'm happy with how it's going, but it's going to be tough to be the wild card. Pittsburgh's in there, and Kansas City's in there. And
right now, it's in our hands. We're driving the bus.
We're number six.
Yeah. So we're there. We just got to keep winning. We got Dallas coming up this week on Saturday. Saturday night, primetime game.
Well, right? Your second favorite team is winning 10-6 right now.
My second
favorite
team.
Towards halftime. Yeah, the Patriots.
And then we got New England coming to us, right?
That's right.
And then we got Buffalo.
In Buffalo. In the snow.
I don't think it snowed in Buffalo yet.
We all know what happened in 1993 when the Jets had to go to Buffalo and win to get in the playoffs, don't we?
I want to get onto the Mets for a second.
Go ahead. Talk about the Mets. Go ahead. Hurry up.
Are you happy about not getting Zorbris?
We do have another caller on hold, so, Rich, we can't give you all
really
the time.
Care.
So.
I didn't really care either way, but I'm glad Michael Kadire
is gone.
Well, you know, realized he just doesn't have it, and it opens up money.
$12 million. So you want? Do you want to
$12 million?
Would you want to sign Cespedes?
Yes,
I do.
You know what? Yes.
Sign him.
Because the last time I was on the radio was before they got him, and I said the Mets weren't going anywhere, and then they got him, and it just changed like overnight.
That's it.
Because of him.
Changed the whole complexion of the lineup.
And the Flores crying.
Sign him. If you could pay Jason Heyward $20-something million a year, pay the guy his $30 million. Just give it to him. Please,
you know,
do me a favor.
And let me just say one thing about that final game of the World Series.
Go right ahead.
All these people saying about how Matt Harvey is selfish, he shouldn't have come out for the ninth inning.
No, he had to come out there.
He wanted to show the fans and get over that whole thing about the pitch
count.
He
just choked.
You know,
he didn't
get it
done.
It's not his fault what happened. It isn't. He was great.
Well,
that
it's his fault that he didn't come through in the ninth.
Have.
Rich, it is his fault that he didn't come through in the ninth, but
no,
I agree
not,
with him coming out.
It's not his fault that
come
he didn't
on,
come
close
through.
The door. He had a shutout going.
The guts. He showed guts.
Well, you're not going to make an Earl Hershiser name for yourself doing that in the ninth inning. I got to tell you the
pitcher.
Truth. Yeah, I didn't say he wasn't
great.
Pitcher. But in the postseason, in the big spot, he blew it.
Even if he goes to the Yankees as a free agent.
Oh, stop with the Yankees.
Stop
setting yourself up for the inevitable.
And love.
Oh,
he
please.
Go.
Nobody
he made
cares.
The series. He's golden for life.
You want me to play a sad song for you?
He's golden for life.
Golden
yeah,
for life. They made the World Series. That's all I can
say.
I agree.
That gets you golden for life?
Yeah. Yes.
He still blew it in the ninth. Close the door next time.
They blew it in the first game.
Touchdown, New England, 17-6.
They blew it in the first
game. All right, listen, I'm going to the Heisman Award dinner tomorrow night. Who do you want me to grab a picture with?
My guy, Christian McCaffrey, who should have won.
All right, if he's
you
there.
Like McCaffrey. I picked Harvey.
I would have voted for him, too.
Because I thought McCaffrey reminded me very much of Johnny Rogers and Rocket Ishmael.
Okay,
and Rocket didn't win, but Rogers won. Henry was very good. Let's put it this way. There was no Reggie Bush. There was no O.J. Simpson. There was no guaranteed got-to-win guy. All these guys that showed up, although I wish they had five guys. I wish the guy from Navy was there.
Yeah, I like
Navy
him, too.
Navy uniform,
yeah.
You know, coming from the game. But what are you going to do? But you can't argue with any of the ones
no,
that were up
they
there.
Were deserving. One guy broke Barry Sanders' record. This kid, Henry, he broke Herschel's SEC record for rushing yards, so he got it.
He played more games.
Well, there you go. They all count, so there you go.
Yeah, but McCaffrey had my first vote.
I personally would have voted for McCaffrey. But
yeah.
We don't get a vote. All right?
All right, Rich, thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling,
Rich.
Happy
holidays to you, Rich, okay?
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Happy Hanukkah.
Happy New Year.
All right.
Happy
All right.
New Year.
See you next.
Hello?
Enjoy the Rangers player front. Who's next on the line here?
Yeah, this is Ralph from Staten Island.
It's Ralph from Staten Island.
Hey, what's up, boy?
What's up there, buddy?
Ralphie, you excited about the? You're a big Jeff fan, right?
I was a Jeff fan many years ago, but I don't. I root for the Jets in New York, and I don't root for the Giants. I don't like the Giants at all. So I definitely am excited about the Jets. Yeah.
So you're still a Jet fan? Yes or no?
Yes, I. You know what I was? I was a Jeff fan. I became a Niner fan when Joe Montana came
up. So you said it past tense. So you're saying you were a Jet fan and you became a Niner fan in the 80s.
I became a Niner fan in 79, 78.
Right before they started winning titles.
Right.
How convenient.
I became a Joe Montana fan.
Ralph, who do you root for in baseball and hockey?
I like the Islanders in hockey.
Obviously.
And the Mets in baseball.
There you go.
Okay, so I can't call you a true front runner because you stayed a Met fan. That's very good of you.
How is an Islander being a front runner? Oh, you're saying
they won a lot of titles early on.
Of course they did.
The first 20
years. So, Ralph, what did you think of today's game with the Islanders?
Listen to this. I've been an Islander fan since maybe 75.
Okay.
So I've been through some miserable seasons, and guess what? I'm an Islander fan forever.
I noticed you started rooting for your teams right before they started to win, though. That's interesting.
Yes. 75
was the first year the Islanders went to the semifinals.
I watched them be miserable. I watched them win the Cup.
Right.
I was at a couple of games till 2 o'clock in the morning when they scored the overtime goals, and I had to go to work. It was crazy. It was nuts.
Ralph, I'm going to tell you, look, they played great today. Do you agree with me they should split up the goaltending a little bit, Geis and Halak? Give it a little more to Geis. He's playing really good. They had a beautiful shutout today.
Yes, the Islanders hit the lottery with that backup goaltender.
Hit the lottery.
Thomas Greiss has done a nice job for them.
That guy is some backup. He could be a starting goaltender. He's better than the last two backups we had.
Of course. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, they're stable between the pipes now. Who's your favorite Islander there, Ralph? Or is it too obvious?
Of course, JT.
All right. That's
there you
easy,
go.
Easy answer. Who's your second favorite Islander, Ralph?
You want to know who I really like on the Islanders?
Who?
It's a choice between these two. I like Franz Nielsen.
Yep, okay.
I also like Nick Leddy, the defenseman.
Yeah, Nick Leddy.
A lot of guys, yeah, very good.
And what are your thoughts on the coach?
I'll tell you, Jack Capuano is I don't say he's a bad coach, and I don't say he's a good coach, but I say he's in between. And I don't think it's the reason that the Islanders are not performing for him. I think that what happened was they looked tired the last week or so.
Right.
I think it's too many games in a stretch.
Yeah, I think he's done a good job for the makeup of their roster. He's done a nice job so far.
I like the guy. I think he's a nice guy.
Aren't you amazed that he's the second all-time winningest Islander coach after Arba? He's been around long enough that he has more wins than any other coach outside of Al Arba.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
I don't think that it's the coach that's the problem. The first line wasn't scoring for about a while, like 8 or 9 games. And I think they should break up that line. They got too many good players in that one line. They should put John Tavares on a line with, what's his face, Franz Nielsen.
Right.
Take Kyle Pulso out of there.
So you want to change the lines while they're scoring goals? I don't know if I would do that right now.
No, the first line wasn't scoring goals.
Yeah, but they're getting the goals from the other lines. You know, Nielsen's scoring, Brock Nelson has some goals. I mean, these guys are putting points up.
But they had a bad stretch where they were just barely winning because really good teams find ways of winning bad when they play.
Well, Okpozo has 18 assists. That's pretty good. I mean, the guy's putting up points, and Tavares got his 13th goal today. You're doing fine.
Yeah, he did good.
Oh, no, Tavares is Tavares. That's not the problem. The problem is the Islanders have what's happening right now is they have lines that could shoot at you every game after game.
Right.
They got toughness. I think they need one more Bapa.
I got you.
I agree. You know, and his name is Stamkos. He's coming.
Yeah, you're an idiot.
I would love.
I heard he's.
Ralph, I got a trivia question for you.
But
since the Patriots are still destroying teams and they're going to get the 11th win today, who has the record? What team for most consecutive seasons with 10 or more wins?
Ooh,
I guess you just mentioned it.
It's not the Islanders.
No, this is football. This is a football question.
I guess he just mentioned the team that the Patriots.
The Patriots are going for their 11th win. Okay.
New England Patriots, without a doubt.
New England has 13 seasons after this year, I believe.
Without a doubt.
13 straight. However, the San Francisco 49ers have the record with 16 straight years of 10 or more wins.
Yes, I agree with you.
And you should have known that, Mr. Montana Jr.
I will tell you this, though, Ralph.
I'm disgusted with you. You're a Jet fan. You don't live in San Francisco. You live here. You root for the Jets, like me and the Sweenmeister. You got that?
Well, Ralph, let me just tell you one thing. For a team that was in the Super Bowl, they are horrible this year. They really fell. The team really fell off. They fell off this team.
49ers, there's about five guys that retired. One guy was 25 years old that retired balling.
That Kaepernick really fell apart.
You know who you really missed was Patrick Willis.
Willis is
a Hall of Fame linebacker. He was like a six-time first-team All-Pro. He was great.
What happened with the Niners is they made Kaepernick become a great quarterback, and from day one I said the guy stunk.
Yeah. He had that, he had a magical start. You know, they got to the Super Bowl, but he really hasn't evolved off of that at all.
The only guy I know, instead of going forward, he went backwards.
Yeah. They got rid of Gore. They got rid of a lot of key guys.
They got rid of a lot of players. You know, they're in a rebuilding process right now. This year was going to be a deal where that we're going to lose 10 games or more. There's no doubt.
All right, Ralph, I got to get going real quick.
I got to say this much, Ralph. For a franchise that had Joe Montana and followed it up with Steve Young, I can't really feel too bad for you.
Ralph, we got another call. I just want to tell you this real quick. Look, 31 games into the season. 18 wins, second place at 41 points. And guess who's below us?
The Rangers, which
Thank
I
you.
Love.
Boo. All right.
Ralph, keep listening, Ralph. Look, the Islanders are going places this year.
Ralph, have a great Christmas.
Have a good Christmas, Ralph. The good guys are going up, man.
All right. You have a good one, too. All right,
Thanks,
pal.
Ralph.
All right. Who's our last call tonight? Who's on the line with us? Go ahead. Who's on the line with us? The last call tonight.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Who is this?
It's Elwood.
Elwood from Indianapolis?
Beautiful downtown.
I got to give this guy credit for calling after the Colts got slapped.
Elwood,
what is going on with your team? They stink. They're worse than the Jets. Oh, my God.
No, they're not. Now, come on.
This is a Christmas gift. Oh, what'd you lose, 52-20?
Elwood.
Come
on. Hold on. You know, believe it or not, the Colts could, when LaFleur comes back, the Colts could actually still win
the Colts
division.
Are done.
They're not done.
Guys, are we done talking about 51-16?
Oh, my God.
Are we done?
And what happened to Luck anyway? Why isn't he playing?
He had a lacerated liver.
Oh, come on. Tough it up.
Are you done? Because he's a 40-year-old quarterback, and we got two good games out of four, and I'm shocked.
He's no Marvin Hagler. Who, Hasselbeck? Hasselbeck's doing the best he can.
He's a 40-year-old man, and he's got a 42-year-old kicker.
What a letdown, man. Well, for last year, God.
All he was meant to do is keep us afloat till Luck is back, and he won half the games he played in, and I'm going to consider that okay.
Is Luck coming back this week?
Yes, he's going to be back for the Texas game. They think, you know how they won't commit to anything, but I think after today, Luck's coming back. And once Luck gets back, everything's going to be okay.
Because they're only like a game or two out of first, right?
Slapping people around like, you know, next to the Pacers game.
No, they'll be tied for first after Houston loses to the Pats tonight.
That division's kind of like the NFC East division. It's kind of it's a bit horrible division right now.
Well, it's horrible. Yeah, Colts usually dominate, but, you know, with Luck being hurt and then they stick in some 40-year-old.
Let me ask you a question, Elwood, because last time I checked, Luck doesn't play defense. Why is your defense so lousy? They stink. They can't stop giving up points.
Because they need to clean house terribly, and I don't know who knows where these bodies are buried at. They need to get in there and do some serious firing, some serious hiring, some serious trading. You know, that's partly why we got rid of the old great Peyton, because he was an old boys club.
Right.
That's one thing I like about Luck. I haven't really picked up that he's the, you know, oh, don't you touch my boy from Stanford. Oh, don't you. Oh, that defensive coordinator, he's, you know.
All right.
So I think once Luck's back, that's probably what I called about it. I think things are going to start getting better next week once. And, man, I never realized how much Luck's my boy now. I'm sitting there watching Hasselbeck at the game kind of bored. I'm like, Luck would have did this. I thought, oh, crap.
That's the reason why that score turned ugly because of Hasselbeck. He got hurt, and then he had some turnovers, right?
He gave up 51 points.
He got hurt, though.
Guys, he's 40-something.
He had two defensive touchdowns, didn't he?
Well, do you remember when Hasselbeck won those two games and everybody was just thinking he was, you know,
just
better
doing what he had to
spread?
Do.
Somebody actually asked the coach in a press conference, and Andy Day says, would you ever consider replacing Luck with him? He's doing so good. And everybody in the room just turned out.
That guy's a moron that said that.
He's 40. He's 40.
Plus,
you know.
Plus Andrew Luck's a...
Oh, Andrew Luck's the next big thing.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the next Tom Brady, the next Peyton Manning. Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, Luck's the real deal. You kidding? Oh, he whopped up on Denver.
He's no Manning. He's not durable, that's for sure.
Let me ask you this. You're a big Manning guy. Did Denver put Manning back in as soon as he comes back, if he comes back next week?
I don't follow Denver. You know, guys, my follow in Denver, I was like religiously following it when Peyton first went. And now I'm like, yeah, I look, and then I'm like, eh. And I don't hardly, to be truthful, I don't know. I don't follow. I got a big old picture on my Twitter of Peyton on the phone, and it, underneath it, it says, Andrew, can you give me some advice?
No, we got to get going. You got to call a little earlier next time. I'm sorry for keeping you on hold.
Sweetie's a big fan of yours. We're going to send you a Peyton Manning fathead for your wall in your bedroom.
Good guy, man. Have a good holiday, all right? Merry Christmas to you.
Thanks for calling in, buddy.
Elwood, thank you.
I give him credit for calling because Colts didn't look too good today.
No.
But the Jets did. And
Once again,
that's it for us.
And in my prediction, the Jets will beat. I know there's a lot of Dallas Cowboy fans out there. The Jets are winning Saturday night.
Are you going to do trash talking already?
Yeah.
Well, it's the end of 2015 for us, Sweeney. You want to say
Happy
New Year to everybody?
I said 10 wins. We need two
say
more,
happy,
baby.
Say Happy New Year to
happy
the folks out there.
Merry Christmas, guys.
All right, folks, let's go.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.